This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Hello, and welcome to today's ILTA podcast. Law firm, software shop, or both? My name is Caroline Sweeney, and I'm the Director of Knowledge Management and Innovation at the Dorsey & Whitney Law Firm. Today, I'm sharing moderator duties with Amy Monahan, the Senior Practice Innovations Manager at the Perkins Coie Law Firm. We're thrilled to be joined by Christy Smith, Senior Manager of Innovation Solutions at Brian Cave Leighton Paisner, and Dave Cohen, Partner with Reed Smith. Welcome, Christy and Dave.
Thanks very much, Caroline.
Hi, thanks for having us.
We're thrilled to have you. So first question, and Dave, why don't we start with you and then Christy, if you can take it from there. But first question on everyone's mind probably is your firm engaged in software development?
Yes, we are, in fact. And one of the things I do at Reed Smith is I head up our records and e-discovery practice group. And e-discovery has had such a nexus with technology for so long that seems to be where at Reed Smith and at a number of other firms, a lot of the software development was initiated. So in our case, I remember it was probably about 10 years ago, we were looking to get better metrics on our e-discovery work and looked out there for what programs worked in order to give e-discovery metrics. And didn't find anything that really did everything we wanted to do. So we decided to develop something in-house, which we ended up calling Periscope. And, you know, we spent actually several years developing and refining it. And I think won a Relativity Development Award because it works on top of Relativity. So that was sort of the first venture that I was involved in. And then we did some others likewise. But what we ended up doing a couple of years ago was we spun off a technology subsidiary, which we call Gravity Stack. And I think that our development has accelerated since then. I don't know that law firms are sort of great vehicles for software development. And we found there were some impediments to trying to do that through a law firm. So we're having more success with having a technology subsidiary.
That's interesting. Christy, how about you?
Yeah, we are as well, and we do kind of a combination of, we have the proprietary software capabilities that we use, but we also use low-code platforms and some no-code platforms that we're using to build applications for our clients. And I think we really started to, you know, get into this area primarily because some of the tools that we were using, while they were ideal for certain business case scenarios, they weren't precisely meeting what was necessary for the legal requirements. And so we'd noticed that there was a big difference between the needs on the legal end versus the business side. So we wanted to, you know, create some solutions for our clients that were relevant to the particular problems that they had. And that's what got us into this area in the first place. So yeah, we do a combination of you know, the proprietary side, but also utilizing those low code and no code platforms.
Hi everyone, this is Amy here. Thanks for joining us today, Christy and Dave. So Dave, you were talking about, you know, you started by developing this tool because you wanted to get e-discovery metrics. And Christy, you mentioned, you know, the gap between what was available with off-the-shelf products and what was needed. So I'm curious, because there seems to be historically this gap of, you know, what's available in technology versus what legal needs, that has led to law firms having to custom develop their own applications for those needs. So how do you go about identifying, you know, what applications you're going to develop, and how do you make that decision on what to develop? What's your prioritization matrix or process? And Christy, we'll start with you.
Sure. So, I mean, we start by looking at what the problem is. You know, have we solved this problem before? If not, is there a way that it's been solved elsewhere with the tools that we already have available that we can use? And if not, then we kind of look out more broadly even to see what is being offered. Is this something that would be new that has never been done before, that if we built would be the first in the market to be solving that particular problem? So we really start with identifying the problem. But then we try to prioritize opportunities that, you know, are either aligned with our firm's strategy or are solving problems for our key clients and, you know, helping to make their lives easier. We also will look at opportunities where it will help our own lives to be easier and we'll work more efficiently. But particularly if we can create something that's going to be scalable and used for multiple purposes or with multiple clients, something that's new and marketable, those are the opportunities that we tend to prioritize.
And Dave, what about you?
Yeah, a similar answer. I think the safest course to go is to be responding to something that is already an identified need. There's sort of, you know, two ways you can go. One is, you know, there are things that people say they need and clients are looking for solutions now. There also might be other great ideas that maybe clients and lawyers in your firm haven't even thought of yet. And you can sort of proceed on the theory that sort of the field of dreams theory, if you build it, they will come. But that's a little bit riskier. And in the there's a limit to how much you can do at any given time, most of our projects have been driven by an identified need, something that we know will be used right away, will be useful right away. And, you know, I would agree with Christy in sort of the progression. You first ask, is there anything off the shelf? Because there's no reason to invent something that's already been invented. If not, then you sort of have to look at, okay, how long would it take and how costly would it be to develop this in-house? And whatever estimate you get from your development people, I generally find you can multiply by about four because it's always harder and take longer than they think. But the other possibility, and Christy talked about, you know, low code or no code solutions, are there any shortcuts? Is there anybody who's got part of the solution who you can partner with to come up with this? Because that can really move you far along the way. I think that's the best approach. We have had potential partners approach us with products that we could adopt or white label, and some of them seem like great ideas. But if we're not doing it in response to building demand, we have limited bandwidth in terms of our developers and our time and so on.
I'm curious how, for both of you, how do you kind of source those ideas? How do you find out from clients where there's a business need that you could potentially build a solution for? Or are you focused? I think you both have mentioned solving client problems. But Dave, I think one of your examples was to solve sort of an internal e-discovery challenge that you had. So I'm curious to know, how do you source your ideas? And then what kind of applications have you developed?
It's largely demand driven, and often it's in response to changes in the law. So for example, a few years back in Europe, they developed the General Data Protection Regulation, which restricts the transfer of personal data between Europe and the US and elsewhere. And one of the ways of getting compliant with the GDPR is to anonymize or pseudonymize or redact personal data. So when we saw that new law was coming into play, we looked around and said, well, how can we do large scale pseudonymization or redaction? And didn't find anything that worked really well. So we came up with an idea for doing that ourselves. And we developed this product that we now market that we call the Anonymizer, that does that all on a large scale batch basis. So that's one example. And it was really in response to demand and new developments in the law. Another example like that is we've seen in recent years much more focus with our clients on getting their contracts managed and understanding what's in their contracts. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, having to do mass reviews or mass edits of contracts. For example, financial companies have recently had to deal with the fact that LIBOR interest rates are going to be going away, the London Interbank Operating Rate. And they have the LIBOR rates or the reference for interest provisions in thousands or tens of thousands of their contracts and loan agreements. So now they've got to go back through and analyze which contracts have those and how they need to be amended. And so we developed a product that uses artificial intelligence to do automated review and analysis, pull out key provisions, and suggest particular amendments for particular contracts. So again, that was
trying to sort of build the better mousetrap in response to existing client needs. So those are two examples. I'll just mention really quickly two others that we've worked on recently. One is machine translation, which is, we've used it for a long time, but it's gotten much better in recent years. And we've just worked with an outside company to build a bridge that works on top of Relativity so that we can do large scale, fast and inexpensive mass translations of documents that are non-English documents. And then another example, which I think a lot of the e-discovery community is now familiar with, is we built an e-discovery app to, we used to have a written e-discovery reference manual for our lawyers and clients. And we turned that into an app that everyone can download onto their cell phones from, you know, from the App Store or from Google Play. And we used, so to talk about low code, we used an application builder so that we could create that app. So I'll stop there, but those are a few of the examples we have.
I think I'm going to have to reach out to you because we're looking at doing the same thing with our e-discovery playbook. So good tip. Christy, how about you? How are you sourcing your ideas? And can you give a couple of examples of apps that you've developed?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing we're really trying to do is look at the way that we're providing our legal services and seeing that our role as attorneys is changing to some extent. You know, we're no longer just being sought out for our legal expertise. We're really being sought out to be an extension of our client, a partner for our clients. And so part of that is changing the way that we're, you know, issue spotting for problems. It's not just coming in and saying, here's all of our expertise that we have. It's coming in and saying, what do you need from us? You know, what are your primary pain points? So we've really been looking to change the way that we're asking those questions and giving, you know, more attention to our clients and just hearing what their frustrations are. What are their everyday challenges? Opening up the conversation to, you know, identify those certain pain points, bottlenecks, you know, those areas of the processes that our daily processes that are frustrating, how they're communicating with us. And those are leading us to these ideas for, you know, different applications that we can develop for them. You know, recently, I think one area that we found a lot of insights with our client was, you know, reducing frustrations due to being remotely in a COVID environment. So, you know, a lot of the pain points that we heard from our clients there were, you know, that they're now limited in what technology they have available at their home offices. So certain things like a director's and officer skill matrix that used to be passed around via email, circulated to different directors to input the information in for assessment and annual reporting obligations, now is a really cumbersome process because at home they're trying to, you know, attach it to an email and send it somewhere, but then they can't print it off. So what they needed there was just a really straightforward online application that was easy to use, no training required, could be sent via, you know, via email hyperlink, and they could easily answer those questions and have some type of workflow that at the end, when they clicked on submit, it sent it to the right people for review. So it sent it to the right person, the right lawyer on our end to review those results. And so that was one, you know, example of an application that we did recently, and that was in response to, you know, COVID challenges. I think COVID challenges have actually produced several different applications, ideas for applications, including some for basic estate planning needs. You know, the inability when you're in the hospital to update your will because it can't come into the hospital room with you. That was a challenge that was presented to us that we were able to design and build an application that permitted people to, you know, answer a few questions to easily assess their basic estate planning needs for updating wills, powers of attorneys based on their location. So as the landscape was changing and each state was starting to look at things like, you know, electric signatures and notarizations that were online, what were those laws and being able to have a decision tree that leads to an assessment with an end report that easily identifies, you know, what your rights are in those circumstances was really a need that we were able to meet very quickly by standing up a solution for that. We also hear, you know, often from our clients that they have a small legal department. And because of it, certain things like NDAs or term sheets are really causing a bottleneck for their legal department. And if they could turn around, you know, those quickly, then it would really help clear up the bottleneck, but also just increase, you know, the number of sales and deals that they're doing because it's currently getting held up at legal. So how can we create a self-service tool for them that would enable them to do this? And we were able to, in that context, create an application around certain questions and thresholds being met where the system could make sure that a pre-approved legal NDA was capable of being issued by business users. Instead of having to go to legal each time, they were able to, you know, if they met certain criteria and answered questions in a certain way in an online application, then they could move forward and generate that pre-approved legal NDA and go ahead and send it to the counterparty for signature. But it also set up certain validation criteria so that if, you know, there were certain risk areas that needed legal review, then the system could route that to legal for review. But it really, you know, increased the number of NDAs they were able to get through that were those non-risky ones that legal said under these circumstances, it's okay to move those forward. So that's an example of one. And then the other area I think that we tend to look for are, you know, ones that align with our firm's values. So, you know, our firm really is supportive of diversity and inclusion initiatives and supporting our local community. So we created an application in the last few years that is called Be Seen. It's a birth certificate education and navigation application that aims to provide same-sex parents and healthcare providers with information on their rights when it comes to their child's birth certificates. So that's something that we're committed to as a firm and that we saw a need for. There's in each state, there's different rules that are impacting those birth certificate decisions. And so we were able to create an app there. So those are a few examples of things we've done recently.
So Christy, I'm curious, you know, who is responsible for building these applications and what's their skill set? Because these can get pretty complex. And I imagine this requires a special skill set only, you know, for identifying them firstly, and then secondly, you know, developing them and delivering them. And then the second part of my question for both you and Dave is, how do you support these applications once you roll them out?
Yeah, so I think it depends on the type of application. So, you know, there is definitely a level of subject matter expertise that is needed, and that comes in large part from our lawyers. But for example, we have a very multidisciplinary team for our innovation group. And as a part of that team, I'm a lawyer that I practiced for 5 years, first of all. So I do have a lot of that background and can provide the subject matter expertise. But then I also, you know, moved to the client technology side where I actually did build the applications myself using those no code platforms. So having that experience has helped me on the design end to be able to pair the subject matter expertise that's required with the technical skills. But that's where it does come into play a lot, where we have, you know, the software, depending on the level of complexity, it's really nice to have those software developers there to really, you know, gut check the technical end of things and making sure that the technical functionality is actually delivering the benefits and the end results that we were wanting in order to solve that problem. So it's a combination of the two. But our innovation team does a lot of the development along with our knowledge management groups, our IS teams. It's a collaborative effort.
Great. And what about you, Dave?
At Reed Smith, I think there's a dichotomy between the law firm and the tech subsidiary. So the law firm, Reed Smith, we have a client value team as well. And they mostly help develop products that help support our practice. So those are products that we're going to be using internally. And then that subsidiary, Gravity Stack, that includes about 35 analysts. And their focus is on products that and services that they market outside. So they market the products directly to clients or to other law firms. So if it's a product that has that kind of marketability, then it's something that Gravity Stack would take on. And a lot of the employees of Gravity Stack, it really started as our litigation support department. So we have a lot of the people are you know, really litigation technology analysts, relativity certified or otherwise. But in the last few years, they've also developed some and hired some pure software developers. And so they've helped with other products. Your support question is a really good one, because you can't forget that virtually every product that you develop, first of all, it's never done. You're always looking to refine it or enhance it, evolve it so that it meets more and more needs. And the support is a critical element for success. So we have found that the key is we can't get overextended. We have to limit, we have to say no to some projects and some ideas, even some good ideas, because we want to limit what we're doing to the bandwidth that we have to the volume that we have the bandwidth to support. So we've really focused on, you know, maybe a half dozen products in the last few years. And we are cautious about taking on new products until we're sure we have the capacity, not just to develop them, but to support them and to allow them to continue to evolve.
That's a sign of maturity. I will say from experience. The care and feeding aspect, whether it's a knowledge management product or, you know, an innovation solution or a technology solution, the care and feeding often gets overlooked until it's too late. And then there's a lot of pain. And again, I speak from experience.
Well, I think we could talk for another 25 minutes on this topic, but thank you so much for turning into today's podcast to our audience. And thank you, Dave and Christy, some really interesting information that you guys have shared. And Amy, thanks for co-moderating with me. Have
thank
a wonderful
you, Caroline.
Day.
Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.